Okay, it is official. Mark Giordano is not going to the 2019 All-Star Game in San Jose. The lone Flames representative on the ice will be Johnny Gaudreau. And, of course, head coach Bill Peters will coach the squad. I think that we are all in agreement that this is something that he is very deserving of. He has had an all-star caliber season, but he's not going the last man in. I don't think anybody is surprised, because when it comes to voting, nobody does it better than the Edmonton Oilers and their fans. They know how to mobilize in these circumstances. So the fact that Leon Draisaitl is the guy going in the Pacific Division surprises me not even one bit. Let's convene today's Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Ryan Pinder, and my name is Pat Steinberg. Are we outraged? Is this a travesty? Is this a miscarriage of justice that there is no Mark Giordano at the All-Star Game later this month?
Well, you've got to be good at something, Pat. So if that something is voting a player in as the last man in for the NHL All-Star Game, so be it.
Nobody votes better than they do.
They are good at it, stuff in the old ballot box. Am I outraged? No. I think he definitely 100% deserves to be there. He's been arguably the best defenseman in the National Hockey League this season, certainly one of the top three, and he should be going to San Jose. But I'm not outraged because, it was a fan vote. B, there are a lot of good defensemen in the Pacific Division, and you can only have so many on a team that's built for 3-on-3. And C, I think in the long run, this is the best thing for Mark Giordano and for the Calgary Flames, because he's 35, he's having a great season. So if you can save a little wear and tear physically and mentally by letting him either stay here in Calgary or take a bit of a trip with his family during the All-Star break and then rest up for the second half of the season and hopefully for a long Stanley Cup playoff run, I think that could be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, outrage is zero. This is not a collection of the most complete hockey players in the league. These are famous hockey players. This is a collection of showmen. This is players from all 31 NHL franchises. And especially in the Pacific Division, is a collection of host market players as well, with three Sharks in attendance. So no surprise, no outrage. And as Derek alluded to, the eight-day break will be an eight-day break for the captain of the Calgary Flames. Those games matter that they'll play following the eight-day break. That probably should be front of mind for Flames fans. Would have been a nice distinction, but I really do wonder if you'd got the truth serum into Mark Giordano if he hadn't suggested this was the best possible outcome.
It's just, and fair enough, and this wouldn't be a conversation if the game was being played in Montreal or Dallas or Tampa Bay.
Well, maybe it would have been, though, because Giordano does not have the star power of Doughty, Carlson, or Burns. So if we're really understanding what the All-Star Game is about, it's a showcase of 3-on-3, which isn't the sport they play in the regular season unless you're tied. It's a showcase event for clients of the NHL and sponsors. Like, this doesn't have a lot to do with being good at hockey so much as being a star in this league.
I'm quite confident he'd be there if this game wasn't in San Jose. He's third in scoring amongst defensemen. I'm quite confident he'd be there, even knowing what you're saying. I think, like, for me, the biggest reason he's not there is because the Sharks are the host team, and when you're the host team, yeah, they're going to load you up with a few players so that your fans can cheer and watch. So I'm pretty confident he'd be there if this game wasn't held in San Jose. Because I think there'd be a case to be made for, you know, some multiple Flames otherwise. But the fact of the matter is, the timing just doesn't sync up, Wilsey, and he's not going to go. And yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, the 35-year-old with an 8-day break as opposed to going and playing at the, like, yeah, I think that he, and he said as much in the locker room today, he'll take the break. He's pretty, I didn't get one sense of any slight or anger or disappointment about not going to the All-Star game from the captain today.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? I think I'd be more up in arms if he hadn't been to an NHL All-Star game before. But he's been to a couple. He's been there and done that and had the experience, and you know he should be there. And I kind of lean to your side, Pat. I think if the game was anywhere but San Jose, he probably would be there. But the Sharks have two of the elite defensemen in this league in Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson, and I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch playing 3-on-3 hockey with some of the best players in the world, but not all of the best players in the world. So not a big deal. And ultimately, maybe it helps Mark Giordano win the Norris Trophy. Maybe it helps the Calgary Flames make a long run in the playoffs, and who knows, maybe even bring a Stanley Cup to this city. So, you know, if one or both of those things happen, I don't think we're going to be talking about Mark Giordano not playing at the Honda NHL All-Star Game come the end of the regular season, or better yet, postseason.
It's best case scenario if you're actually thinking about the games that matter. There's no question. No doubt about it.
Oh,
by the way, like Morgan Riley didn't make the Atlantic team, did he?
Is Morgan Riley?
He should be there too.
Yeah.
Like, so again, this is about the stars. Like, Drew Doughty's not having a good year. He's not. Like, people around that organization, Elliot Friedman mentioned it, Jonathan Davis mentioned it in our hit. Like,
they're saying Jake Muzzin's the best defenseman in LA this year.
So this isn't about being good. It's about having name power and marketing. And that's the names that went for the division are all very marketable ones, aside from the teams that had to have a guy there, right?
For sure.
So it either way, I mean, let's get real here. We talk about this team. The games that matter for this team is not a marketing showcase for the league. It's, you know, the 82 in the regular season and hopefully a long run beyond that. This doesn't affect any of that.
It is the Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Ryan Pinder, Pat Steinberg, Derek Wills with you on our roundtable today. Tonight, we are expecting a couple of lineup changes for the Flames. Andrew Mangiapane comes in for Garnet Hathaway. Oliver Shillington back in for Dalton Prout. Now, there are two players still injured right now, Valimaki and Stone. We don't know when they're going to return. But Derek, with Mangiapane in, with Shillington in, and those two injuries taken into account. Is this as close to the optimal lineup, even if those other two guys were healthy, as the Flames can have? How close to optimal is this right now for the Flames?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Andrew Mangiapane and to seeing if he can finally break through offensively at the NHL level. But for me, with what the Flames have and what they don't have a lot of, and that's size and grit, I actually would rather have Garnet Hathaway in there, at least right now, because he brings an element that the team doesn't have a lot of, with his size and his speed, and he leads the team in hits. So you know, he's a guy who's tough to play against and can get under your skin, and we've seen that in a number of games this season. Andrew Mangiapane clearly has more upside, certainly offensively, but let's consider the fact that he's pointless in 7 games this season and in 17 career NHL games. So Andrew Mangiapane is not going to play the brand of hockey that Garnet Hathaway does, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But for me, if Mangiapane is going to stay in the NHL and be an effective player in this league, he has to do what he's always done, whether it be in the OHL or in the AHL, and that is score goals or at least produce points. So it's a good opportunity for him to get in and hopefully get off the schneid offensively and build a bit of confidence. And if he has a good game tonight, then potentially earn another game. But I actually like what Garnet Hathaway has done for this team. Not only does he bring that physical element, guys, I think he's done an excellent job on the penalty kill for the Flames as well. As far as the defensemen are concerned, I think this is the ultimate or optimal lineup with who they have to work with right now. I think Oliver Shillington certainly has a much, much higher ceiling than Dalton Prout. Better skater, better puck mover, and the Flames don't want to defend. Prout might be a better defender, but they don't want to defend. They want to get the puck out of their zone and down the ice, and I think Shillington's certainly better at that, and he's got lots of room to grow. As for moving forward, I really believe the Flames would like to add a left-shot defenseman for their third pairing. Ideally, a veteran guy who's, you know, had some deep playoff runs and brings that experience to the table. I think if Yusuf Alamaki had stayed healthy, he'd be that guy that would be the left side guy in the third pairing. But I think it's a lot to ask from a rookie 20-year-old who's missed about half the season at this point to come back in and pick up where he left off, because the league gets harder as the season goes on. So I think that's going to be a lot to ask from Valimaki when he comes back later in January or sometime in February. So I think Shillington's the best fit for that spot now, but I'm not convinced that the Flames aren't looking to try to upgrade that left side third pairing spot.
Yeah, I feel like is this the optimal lineup question? It's tough to answer because, you know, we want Andrew Mangiapane to be a thing, but I don't know that he hasn't turned into that yet. So if, you know, we want to see what this guy looks like at the NHL level with some skill around him. Last year he got saddled with the likes of like Brouwer, Lazar, and Stajan. That trio struggled incredibly to get any kind of offensive production going. And I don't know that Andrew Mangiapane's a fourth line winger in the NHL. Although, if it's with Zarnik and Derek Ryan, you know, there's some skill there to work with, certainly more than last year. So I can't speak to Mangiapane being part of an ideal lineup. I will say this. For all the good things Garnet Hathaway does, there is no one on this roster worse in shot attempt differentials. Only Kirby Reichel and Ryan Lomberg have a worse share of shot attempts, a.k.a., you can put him out there and like the things he does, but just understand it's going to follow with a lot more chances against your goalie than it does with chances against their goalie.
I look at it right now, and I see this team on the blue line. I think the seven best or the optimal lineup is obviously the top four as is, Anderson, Shillington, and Stone as the three in the 5-6-7 hole. And you can rotate through, or you can – depending on matchups and how guys are going, you can have different ways of going about it. I think Valimaki right now, especially considering the injury, probably the American League for the time being is the best place for him. The point that you made, I'm completely with there, Derek. As for the forwards, Mangiapane, Zarnik, and Hathaway as kind of a rotation, I don't have a problem with. And I think that Hathaway's biggest value on this team right now is his penalty killing, and he's turned into a very effective penalty killer. As for the even strength play, yeah, I think there are some times when he's pretty ineffective, but he does bring that physical side. Zarnik has played much better of late, Derek, and I know that you've highlighted that. And I think the potential for Mangiapane as a everyday forward in the NHL is there, but it's true. We haven't seen it yet. So that to me, with the pieces they have, this is not considering what they might do via trade, with the pieces they have right now, and obviously Riddick is the number one goaltender, that to me is their optimal look as of right now.
Yeah, and I do think that Brad Treleving is in a position, because of where his team is at in the standings, to look at upgrading, even with rentals, as we approach the NHL's trade deadline. I was on NHL Network earlier today, so I came up with a list of guys who I thought could potentially be a good fit for the Flames, primarily playing for teams that I don't think are going to be in it or aren't in it right now. And I came up with a list of four UFA defensemen. I think it's really important, if they're going to pick up a defenseman, that he be a pending UFA, because when you look at how the Flames project forward on defense, you've got your top four, we know that, and they're under contract for a while, but I really think that Yusuf Alamaki and Rasmus Anderson are going to make a fantastic third pairing next year, and those guys have tremendous upside, and I think are potentially top two or at least top four defensemen moving forward. So the four names I came up with on defense, the Canucks, Alex Edler, he'd be great. The Red Wings, Nicholas Cronwall, I know he's getting up there, but still a pretty effective player with a ton of experience and a really good resume. The Blues, Carl Gunnarsson, and maybe he's more a seven than a six. And the Canadiens, Jordy Benn, so there's four names on defense. And up front, and this might be more of a wish list than anything else, especially with two or three of the names, and not all of them are pending UFAs, and I think it's less important at forward than on defense because of what the Flames have on the blue line and are going to move forward with. But I've got the Senators, Mark Stone. I mean, if you could ever pry him out for even decent price, I think he'd be unbelievable and bring that speed and that size and the skill and the grit, everything you'd want in a guy going into the playoffs. The Rangers, Kevin Hayes and Chris Kreider, probably more reasonable price tags on them. And then here's another one that I'd love to get your thoughts on, guys, because I think the Flames were interested in him before they signed James Neal during the summer. And that's the Blues' Patrick Maroon. What would you think about him?
Oh, he's been awful this year. Really bad. No, that sometimes is misleading because the whole team, no one's having career years in St. Louis.
No.
But that's the kind of guy and the style of guy that when it grinds to a halt, it comes quickly. I don't know. I would be very, very cautious. And I haven't seen him enough, but when a guy who plays the way he does and skating was never a strong suit starts – the production disappears, I'd have my scouts all over there 100% sure that he can still move if they're going to go get him.
Who is Maroon? Is Maroon would not be at the top of my list just because, like, I get it that He was very good a couple of years ago, and I do I know they have had interest in him in different times. I mean, they were very close to acquiring him before Edmonton did a couple of years ago, but they ended up getting a better deal. Anaheim did out of Edmonton as they got out of Calgary. So I know they've been close to it before. I just wonder about kind of diminishing returns at this stage of the game. And the way the Flames play is a pretty up-tempo, speed-heavy game, and I don't know if that necessarily fits him. So Maroon is not a guy that I'm in love with in that regard. There's a couple of other guys in there that I'm interested in that you threw out there, because I wonder, like, you threw out the name Mark Stone, and I know that would cost a lot to bring in.
Ooh, what a player.
But that's interesting.
Great player.
Because he's a great player. He'd be a perfect fit on a power play, and he'd just give you a natural goal scorer off the wing. And why I like it is because this is the year where I believe, for the first time in a long time, the Flames are in a spot to go out and truly get a rental, because they have a window that's open. They're fighting for home ice advantage in the playoffs. They could win the Western Conference. What better year to go out and try and give yourself a better shot of going deep in the playoffs, even if it has to be a rental? And to add to that, their cap situation is more ideal now than it will be in 1 year's time if they're in the same spot. Because in 1 year's time,
Kachuk's
going to be making exactly.
Yeah.
This is an ideal time cap-wise, plus you've got this opportunity to maybe do something special this year. So I know that rentals are always poo-pooed because you got to give up future assets. And for a rebuilding team and a team on the ascension, yes, they don't make sense. But if this team has arrived, and I think that we all believe that they're pretty close to, if not having already arrived, then this is the time where maybe you make that type of move.
Yeah, and you guys, don't get me wrong. Patrick Maroon is not at the top of my list. But I was just going through the list of forwards who are going to be UFAs at the end of this season.
For sure.
And I know they've had some interest in him in the past. He's had a terrible season playing for a Blues team that I think is really underachieved. And you really would have to get your scouts on him and probably send multiple scouts to multiple games to see if he's still got the ability to skate in this day and age when the game is being played at a faster speed than it ever has been before. But, you know, I just think about his size and his strength and his goal-scoring ability, and, you know, could be a good depth add, if nothing else, of the playoffs. And he probably wouldn't cost you much, both in acquisition cost and salary-wise, because he did take a hometown discount to sign in St. Louis with the Blues. So just kind of more of a depth guy than anything else. But the other three guys I brought up, I mean, Mark Stone would be unbelievable, but maybe far-fetched, because he might re-sign with the Senators, and even if he doesn't, there's going to be a long line of teams that are interested in bringing him in, even as a rental, and the price is going to be really high. But those two Rangers guys, I really like both Kevin Hayes and maybe even more so Chris Kreider, because both guys can skate. Kreider is, I think, one of the fastest big men in the NHL. Both guys have skill and can score, but both guys can play a heavy brand of hockey, and I still think that's important come playoff time.
Kreider's interesting because Hayes too. They're in a better age range too than some of these. I mean, Stone would be in a perfect age range too, but a better age range certainly than a guy like Patrick Maroon. That's for sure.
Or if you're going to chase like a Justin Williams, like, or even, you know, there's not a lot of runway, I don't think, left on Wayne Simmonds as a power forward in this league. Like, a significant drop from what we've come to expect from him. The one concern I'd have with Kreider is he's got a year left at 4.6. And this is already a group that's in a cap pinch when you consider that they're going to have to pay David Riddick, they're going to have to pay Matthew Tkachuk. I don't know that bringing in $4 million is something that you can just do easily and assume that business will run as usual. They're that close up against it next year.
Yeah, it would certainly be something that would be difficult.
Hayes is up, though. Hayes is the rental. Yep. So if that's a concern, maybe that sways you one way more than the other, but of course, you can always have money going out the other way. It just makes things a lot more difficult.
Might have to get creative.
Yeah, for exactly. Sure. All right, Wilsey, good stuff, my friend. We will see you down here for Puck Drop in just a couple hours, the Flames and the Florida Panthers. And we will do this again on Monday. Thank you, pal.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend, everybody.